Well, we got a big hour coming up. Lots to talk about. We got the All-Star break already. It's the middle of July already. The summer just flying by. At some point, the president and Putin may have a joint press conference there in Helsinki. And maybe we'll try to bring it to you live if something happens. They had their meeting, a couple of hours. That's all it took. Hour-long meeting alone. Then they met with all the principals, and it'll be interesting to see what they have to say after it's all over. Sean Hannity tonight will interview President Trump after the meeting. I hear he's going to do Tucker Carlson, too. And Chris Wallace, oh, he's got a big one. He's going to do Putin for the hour.
Well, it's going to be interesting to compare notes to see what Putin thinks.
It's not going to be interesting. There's nobody wants to watch Putin talk for an hour.
We'll see if he backs up what the president says.
Oh, I'm sure they'll back up what each other says.
Think so?
Yeah, they'll say they had a good meeting and went well. Yeah, what are they going to say?
I don't know.
Megyn Kelly, you remember when she tried to actually start that Sunday night show? She announced to the world they promoted the hell out of an exclusive one-hour interview with Putin. Nobody watched it. Came in fourth place. What's his name? Oliver Stone. You remember he did a documentary on Putin? Total disaster at bomb. Now, of course, these are two of the dumbest people in the world. Megyn Kelly and Oliver Stone. That's the reason that Putin chose them for the interview. Now, it's different with Chris Wallace. Good interviewer, sharp guy. So we'll see what comes out of that. Hey, there's a guy running around bad-mouthing Donald Trump. Of course,
just one?
That's everybody.
Yeah.
But they have dragged this guy up, Tony Schwartz.
Oh, yeah.
He's a writer who, the book, The Art of the Deal, it was Donald Trump's first book. This is a million years ago, this book, and Donald Trump was a young guy, so obviously they don't trust you to be able to write a book. They get you a ghostwriter, and his job really is you just talk the book, and then he lays it out, you know, puts it in the right paragraphs and organizes it for you. That's what Tony Schwartz did. They didn't get along. He was fired right after that. Trump had such a success with The Art of the Deal that they wanted one book after another, but he didn't like Tony Schwartz, dumped him. And I think it was Charlie Shearson on the second book. I forget. He just used different writers. Never went back to Tony Schwartz. Didn't like him. They didn't get along. And that was the end of Tony Schwartz. So this was, this is hard to believe. The Art of the Deal was 30-something years ago. How many years ago?
30, wow.
33 years ago. 33 years ago. And to do the book, they spent about 6 weeks together. Now, if you listen to this Tony Schwartz in an interview, he always says, well, I really wrote the book. I was the one that wrote the book. Just go get the book and pick it up and read it. It's clearly Donald Trump talking into a tape recorder. It's so Trumpian, the language, the way he's talking. It's total Trump. You could tell. He just spoke it into a tape recorder. Tony Schwartz knew. Yeah, that's what you need these ghostwriters for. They knew how to chop it up and how to lay out the chapters and how to organize it and put it in the right order. All that kind of stuff. So Tony Schwartz knows nothing about Trump, doesn't know Trump. He spent 6 weeks with him 33 years ago, has had nothing to do with him since. Now think back to a guy you worked with 33 years ago for a couple months. How well do you know that guy today?
I wouldn't even, if you asked me who I worked with 30 years ago.
Okay, picture a guy you worked with briefly in 1985.
All right.
Are you qualified to tell us what this guy's like? Or
No. Well, maybe in the moment you could tell.
In the moment, but it's even then you can't because it's 33 years ago. Very few people are the same 33 years later. So because he's bad-mouthing the hell out of Trump, he's on MSNBC, he's on CNN, they'll put him on Meet the Press. Even though he knows nothing about Trump, hasn't seen him in 33 years, and even 33 years ago, he only met him like an hour a day for 6 weeks. Here he is.
We are in a true emergency, and the rate, the accelerated rate at which his breakdown or decompensation is occurring is cause for us, and certainly cause for me, to come on TV more often, to tweet more often.
Just very nice of you, Tony, who nobody's heard of in 30 years, to be willing to come on TV and talk. He's like the Stormy Daniels of writing. He's like anything to get himself on television. So and that's how you get yourself on television. Say something totally hyperbolic. And you'll notice the fake news anchors in all these interviews, the Morning Joe, Morning Swamp, all these guys have never said to him in the interview, but, you know, you haven't seen the guy in 33 years, and you briefly worked with him for a few weeks, And that was 33 years ago. How could you say you know him so well?
A good question.
And then when he does these interviews and he said, really, I wrote the book. I wrote the whole thing. But you pick it up and read it. You say, wait a minute, you can hear him saying these things. It's him and it's his own language. And so just disregard Tony Schwartz, which is always a good rule for everything. Hey, Governor Cuomo, we're in a lot of trouble with this guy, aren't we?
Yeah, the Post had a big story on him today, yeah.
This is one thug,
yeah,
gangster governor with his $10 billion in boondoggles and stuff he tossed out there. Should we dip into this?
Yeah, let's see what's going on.
The here. President and Putin are having a joint press conference. Let's drop in and take a listen. They just begun.
A set of challenges. Those include a dangerous maladjustment of mechanisms for maintaining international security and stability, regional crises, the creeping threats of terrorism and transnational crime. It's the snowballing problems in the economy, environmental risks, and other sets of challenges.
Well, hopefully Trump's going to talk in a moment. Because this is not riveting, this
part. If we join the ranks and work together, hopefully we will reach this understanding with our American partners. Today's negotiations reflected our joint wish with President Trump to redress this negative situation in the bilateral relationship, outline the first steps for improving this relationship to restore the acceptable level of trust and going back to the previous level of interaction on all mutual interests issues. As major nuclear powers, we bear special responsibility for maintaining international security.
The only problem, he appears to be reading this.
And we mentioned this during the negotiations. It's crucial.
He appears to be reading a script.
The dialogue on a love note.
Stability, yeah, and it's like one of these Chuck Schumer scripted ad-libbing
speeches. We submitted our American colleagues a note with a number of specific suggestions. We believe it necessary to work together further on to interact on the disarmament agenda.
Putin, you can see, has a script. He's turning the pages.
This includes the extension of the strategic offensive arms limitation treaty. It's the dangerous situation with the global American anti-missile defense system. It's the
so if he has a script, when did he write this? They just got done meeting.
Exactly.
And of course,
I think the script was written yesterday. This is like a placement of Schumer Sunday press conference.
We favor the continued cooperation in counterterrorism and maintaining cybersecurity. And I'd like to point out specifically that our special services are cooperating quite successfully together. The most recent example is their operational cooperation within the recently concluded World Football Cup. In general, the contacts among the special services should be put to a system-wide basis, should be a...
Well, anyway, how much of this do we have to listen to?
I reminded President...
Well, I'm sure the President's going to speak here.
Let's wait until the President speaks. Watch him liven it up.
We also mentioned...
Think he'll have a written speech?
I hope not.
That our postures dovetail exactly, and yet...
I mean, you can see Putin is actually reading this.
And
he's reading
a
script.
Abound. We have to look for points of contact and interact closer and variety of international fora. Clearly, we mentioned the regional crisis, for instance, Syria. As far as Syria is concerned...
No wonder it was only a two-hour meeting. Who could listen to that guy that long?
...of establishing peace and reconciliation in this country could be the first showcase example of the successful joint work. Russia and the United States apparently can act proactively and assume the leadership in this issue and organize the interaction to overcome humanitarian crisis and help Syrian refugees to go back to their homes. In order to accomplish...
You know, for a guy who wrestles elephants and sleeps with all these women, he's kind of boring. You think he'd be a little more interested.
Both Russian and American military have acquired a useful experience of coordination of their action, established the operational channels of communication, which
looks like President Trump's getting a little restless.
Yeah.
To avoid dangerous incidents.
You can
and
see the president thinking, this guy loves to ramble.
Also, crushing terrorists in the southwest of Syria, the south of Syria, should be brought to...
You know, you keep hearing about this big, frightening Putin. Here's like this mumbling guy droning on.
...about the separation of forces, about separation of forces of Israel and Syria. This will bring
peace to... This is actually the translator's voice that you're hearing.
And bring more peaceful relationship between Syria and Israel, and also to provide security.
Maybe this is his strategy. Talk forever so the president has no time to talk.
Mr. President paid special attention to the issue during today's negotiations, and I would like to confirm that Russia is interested in this development, and this will act accordingly. Thus far, we will make a step toward creating a lasting peace in compliance with the respective resolutions of Security Council, for instance, the resolution 338. We're glad that the Korean Peninsula issue is starting to resolve. To a great extent, it was possible thanks to the personal engagement of President Trump, who opted for dialogue instead of confrontation. You know, we also mentioned our concern about the withdrawal of the United States from the JCPOA. Well, the U.S., our U.S. counterparts are aware of our posture. Let me remind you that thanks to the Iranian nuclear deal, Iran became the most controlled country in the world. It's submitted to the control of IAEA. It effectively ensures the exclusively peaceful nature of Iranian nuclear program and strengthens the non-proliferation regime. While we discussed the internal Ukrainian crisis, we paid special attention to the bona fide implementation of Minsk.
Well, this opening remark... this could take all afternoon with this guy.
It's like a filibuster.
It's like Castro. This is how Castro speaks. You know, when you're a dictator and murders everybody, who's going to say anything? They all pretend they're listening.
We paid more attention to economic ties and economic cooperation. It's clear that both countries, the businesses of both countries, are interested in this. American delegation was one of the largest delegations on the St. Petersburg.
Well, actually, bring it down for a second because I'm getting a headache from him, really.
It looks like he's got a lot of pages to get through.
He seems to have 400 pages of paper there. Let's wait till the president speaks and take a listen to that. They did have things to talk about. You know, there's 700 companies that are under U.S. sanctions, so he'd want that lifted. Oil production is crucial to Putin because their whole economy is based on oil, and we're just about to become the biggest oil producer in the world. So if we could slow that down a little, it'd be a great help to him. They had things to talk about. You know, they say Crimea. I'm sure that wasn't big on the agenda. Did you know anybody that was worried about Crimea?
No. You live there, you're taken over by Russia?
Yeah, again. But a week ago, were you worried about Crimea? You know, you hear all these fake news anchors saying, you better get a deal on Crimea. I think that was the last thing.
Well, I mean, you know, Russia did move in and annex another country.
Yeah, terrible. But I don't think anybody was worried about this 2 days ago. So it was interesting that you... talked a lot about fighting terrorism together because there's always questions about how much is Russia behind some of this terrorism. And that's good. I think the president is about to... How long is this guy talking?
He looks like he's got a lot of pages to go.
He's just reading this. He's got... Putin has page after page after page. You know, you've been running a country all these years. You can't ad lib a speech. President Trump appears to have no papers. Putin reading and reading and reading.
He's got to be frustrated. Listen to this.
Yeah, he does look a little angry. You got to give the president credit for being able to stay awake through this and listen to this.
Yeah, so, Hillary would have fallen asleep by now.
Yeah. Well, actually, Hillary would have made this guy look exciting. With her, Hillary would have to have everything written out. So, most important meeting in the world. And bring it up for a second. Is he still rambling?
We have to think about the practicalities of our cooperation, but also about the
Russian. All right, there we go. So.
Come on.
Actually, we should probably take a break. As long as our break is, he'll still be talking when we come back. Should we do that?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
I think so. Hey, check out the webpage. There's some great stuff out there. Watch Donald Trump, The Art of the Handshake. Have a firm handshake? No. Much more complicated than that. Watch what Trump does. Uses the handshake to change the whole environment. And then, hey, watch a great flashback. It's Hillary a few years ago saying we must get rid of all illegal aliens. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.
Mark Simone.
On the Voice of New York.
710WOR.
Well, President Trump and Vladimir Putin have concluded their summit. They're now having a little joint press conference. They're both reading statements. Here's President Trump live in Helsinki.
And we have agreed to maintain open communication between our security agencies to protect our citizens from this global menace. Last year, we told Russia about a planned attack in St. Petersburg, and they were able to stop it cold. They found them. They stopped them. There was no doubt about it. I appreciated President Putin's phone call afterwards to thank me. I also emphasized the importance of placing pressure on Iran to halt its nuclear ambitions and to stop its campaign of violence throughout the area, throughout the Middle East. As we discussed at length, the crisis in Syria is a complex one. Cooperation between our two countries has the potential to save hundreds of thousands of lives. I also made clear that the United States will not allow Iran to benefit from our successful campaign against ISIS. We have just about eradicated ISIS in the area. We also agreed that representatives from our national security councils will meet to follow up on all of the issues we addressed today and to continue the progress we have started right here in Helsinki. Today's meeting is only the beginning of a longer process, but we have taken the first steps toward a brighter future and one with a strong dialogue and a lot of thought. Our expectations are grounded in realism, but our hopes are grounded in America's desire for friendship, cooperation, and peace. And I think I can speak on behalf of Russia when I say that also. President Putin, I want to thank you again for joining me for these important discussions and for advancing open dialogue between Russia and the United States. Our meeting carries on a long tradition of diplomacy between Russia, the United States, for the greater good of all. And this was a very constructive day. This was a very constructive few hours that we spent together. It's in the interest of both of our countries to continue our conversation, and we have agreed to do so. I'm sure we'll be meeting again in the future, often, and hopefully we will solve every one of the problems that we discussed today. So, again, President Putin, thank you very much. Thank you, sir.
Well, there you go. President Trump announcing he will begin colluding with Russia.
See, we knew it was there.
Here's the problem. All day long, you will be hearing the fake news do a million stories on what he did wrong, how it didn't go well, nothing's right, they're not getting along. You just spent 2 years, fake news, telling us they were working together, secretly partners on everything. They're taking a couple of questions. Should we listen to that?
This ought to be interesting. Yeah. First question, sure.
First question.
Of the Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline makes Europe a hostage of Russia, and you suggested that you could free Europe from this by supplying American LNG. But this cold winter actually showed that the current model, current mechanism of supply of fuel to Europe is quite
this
viable.
Is the question you wanted to hear?
This is a Russian guy. I should have known.
As far as I know, U.S. had to buy even Russian gas.
Actually, I think we can live without this question.
But it had to do with his comments about, I believe, Germany's pipeline deal with Russia.
Yeah, pretty sleazy pipeline deal with Russia. Now, somewhere in there, Putin denied any tampering with the U.S. election.
Yeah, well, Trump, in his comments, said that they talked about it a great deal and that Putin is probably going to address it at some point.
Yeah.
Here.
Now, let's point out that there's no accusation that they tampered with the election. I know the fake news will say all day, he tampered with the election. The only thing Mueller has come up with is he believes they're the ones that hacked into the DNC computers, although the DNC computers had almost no security on them. The RNC servers had incredible state-of-the-art security on them at the insistence of Donald Trump. So they weren't hacked into. There may have been attempts. Apparently, they got into the DNC servers, according to the Mueller indictments, and that would be one of the reasons was there was just no security on them. And they got in there. They did all kinds of stuff. Then they also did those phishing emails, Podesta and others. The other thing is they got a hold of Podesta's emails. They probably got all of Hillary's emails. That's another thing that wasn't really made clear in all of this. It's very, very, very likely now that they got every one of those classified emails that Hillary was hiding on her server. So Russia has all of those. They may be released at some point. Hey, it should be pointed out, when the Mueller indictments were announced, Rod Rosenstein, slimy swamp snake, said there is no allegation in the indictment that any American committed a crime. There's no allegation that this conspiracy in any way changed the vote count or in any way affected the election. So there was no tampering with the election of any kind. Just the DNC. And again, they probably tried the RNC too, but the RNC had tremendous security on their servers. So Putin situation, Putin is still talking. Boy.
It's riveting.
Yeah. If you work with him and you have to listen to these kind of speeches every day, he said, give me the poison. I'll take it right now. Stop talking. Hey, Elon Musk. I promised we'd get to Elon Musk. This guy, I think, is just a hustling, promoting, self-serving guy. He ran over to Thailand looking like he was going to save the day. He brought this mini sub. I didn't realize the parts of that cave are like the openings, like 1 foot by 2 foot. I mean, you have to like squeeze through these openings. So they try to explain to him the submarine can't possibly be of any help. Couldn't possibly get in there. And he wouldn't take the sub away. It's this mini sub. He left it there, kind of blocking and screwing up the rescue scene. And they kind of pointed out it was clear that he wanted to leave it there as a publicity stunt. He was there to get attention, get publicity. Remember he shot that Tesla into space and has it orbiting him? That was just for publicity. What other purpose would there be? So he was just looking for publicity here. The sub is almost 6 feet long. No way he could make the twists and turns. He wouldn't take it away. He left it there because it was nothing but cameras, reporters, press. He wanted them to all see this submarine. So he got into a fight with them. What's his name? The hero, rescue diver, SEAL that went in there. And Musk called this guy a pedophile.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so this is going to get real ugly. This guy, the hero, now says he will sue Musk. I imagine Musk has a lot of assets, so that's a guy you do want to sue.
Yeah, right.
So this battle is going to get real ugly. Hey, there's more to that hacking story in Russia that is being hushed up and covered up by the media, the fake news. You can blame President Obama for a lot of this. There's been testimony under oath for a lot of the White House, Obama White House's cyber officials saying they were waiting for this attack. They had all kinds of plans to block it and stop it. And under oath, the White House, Obama White House chief cyber officer testified he was ordered to stand down and not stop the attack. That's pretty interesting. Pretty interesting stuff. It's not being covered by the mainstream media. But White House, Obama's chief cyber official testified Wednesday that he was ordered to stand down and not block the Russian attack. We'll see where that goes. Anyway, let's get to Gilbert Gottfried will be with us in a second. But first, let's get to all the latest news on 710 WOR. Here's Joe Bart.
Listen to what you missed whenever you want. It's Mark Simone on demand. Catch his podcasts at 710WOR.com/Mark.
Mr. New York, Mark Simone.
On 710 WOR.
Well, Gilbert Gottfried will be with us in just a second. Hey, you know, Twitter has been on this purge trying to clean up, get rid of all the fake accounts, all the bots, all that stuff. So they've been removing accounts. So from the last couple of weeks, you've been losing some followers. That's the reason. They're wiping out lots of accounts that look fake or it looks like they're bots or in many cases, they're just inactive accounts. So a lot of people, I lost, I think about 1,000 followers in the last 2 weeks, maybe. You remember how they always did these fake news stories about President Trump has fake followers? Well, it turns out he didn't have that many. He only lost 300,000 out of 53 million. That's a tiny, tiny, tiny percentage. President Obama lost 2 million Twitter followers. Do we have Gilbert? Oh, we do? Oh, great. Gilbert Gottfried, one of the great comedians in the world. Hey, Saturday night, he's going to be at Catch a Rising Star, Forked River, New Jersey. That's in the River House. Get tickets, because he always sells out right away. Gilbert Gottfried, how you doing?
Yeah. Now that you said that, I think I can leave, because, you know, I just like to get the plug.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah, I think when people go on the Tonight Show, that should be it. It's like, before the host gets a chance to say anything, they go, my movie's opening in 2 days. Okay, bye.
Yeah, so they when you go on a Tonight Show or something, they have an interviewer pre-interviews you. You have to give them stories, topics, this and that, and pretend that this is what you're there to talk about, when you're just there to plug the appearance.
Yeah, it's like they have prepared stories, and they have to make it sound as if that just came up in conversation. That's why I always loved on the Tonight Show with Jay Leno when he would go, somewhere, I don't know where I saw this. I think it was on the news, or I read it in the paper, and you were skiing with a gorilla. And I don't know where I saw this. Someone told me it. I just overheard it somewhere that you went parachute jumping over the Grand Canyon. And I don't know. I think it was in some magazine or something, you know?
I forgot. He's also one of the world's greatest impressionists. You do the best impression. You know, everybody tries to do Seinfeld. From day one, you did the best Seinfeld ever in history. Give us a second.
Yeah, it's like, I remember I started doing Seinfeld when he was like an unknown comic. He was just one of the comics hanging out at, like, you know, Catch a Rising Star and the Improv. And you know, just like any other comic waiting to go on. And so I started imitating him, and when I would imitate him, other people, all the comics and wait staff, would go into the room and they'd all start laughing at and be in the back, you know, cracking up. And the one person who wasn't in the room when I did that was Seinfeld, who would just be pacing the bar angrily, going, doesn't sound anything like me. I don't have some kind of sing-song voice.
Hey, who does the best impression of you? Is it Jimmy Fallon?
Oh, yeah, Jimmy Fallon does a very good impression. The only impression of me I don't like is that current duck in the commercial.
Oh, yeah. What, the
yeah.
The Affleck.
Yeah, here's one of my favorite time, because I've had a lot of people imitate me. I mean, I was on Hannah Montana, and Miley Cyrus imitated me. But one time, years ago, I was at a party, and O.J. Simpson was there. Yeah. This was when he was known basically as a football player and sometime actor.
Yeah.
Before he showed his other talent. And it turns out O.J. Simpson was a fan of mine, and he saw me and went into an imitation of me. And I thought, boy, if I could go back in time, I would film that. Now, a lot of people are probably thinking, well, if you went back in time, shouldn't you also stop the murders from occurring? No, that has nothing to do with me. Well, I want this for my personal collection.
Yeah, if you stop the murder, the video wouldn't be worth as much in the later years.
If he's not known as a murderer, they go, oh, who's he? Oh, he's a football player. All right.
So
it would be like having Joe Namath imitate me. It's like, well, who's he again?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Gilbert Gottfried's going to be at Catch a Rising Star, Forked River, New Jersey, this Saturday night at the Joey Harrison's River House. Have you ever been to Forked River before?
I wouldn't know it if I was. You could tell me I was there 5 minutes ago. The way I travel around, you could say, you did a show in Hong Kong an hour ago. And I go, okay.
Well, you strike me as the kind of guy, when you're on the road, different cities, you probably stay in a hotel and watch one of those TV channels with 1950s and 60s shows. Because you love old show business.
I love old show business, and how's this for a segue into a plug? And that's why I do Gilbert Gottfried's amazing, colossal podcast.
It is a great podcast, especially if you love that stuff. Gilbert Gottfried's podcast, you should listen to it. It's like one of the few places where you could hear like a 7-part interview with Dick Sargent. It's like that kind of place.
Only I could get a hold of Dr. Bombay.
Oh, yeah. Who is that? That was, what's his name?
I forget that guy's name. He was in Bewitched.
Was it Bernie Coppell? No, it was the other guy.
No. Bernie Coppell was on my podcast.
Yeah, he was on
Bewitched.
Yeah.
Get Smart. And he was Doc on The Love Boat.
Yeah, Dr. Bombay was the English guy. I can't remember his name. But
yes.
And people can just go to any of the podcast places, get Gilbert Gottfried's podcast. Johnny Jacobson? Was that his name? Oh, okay.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, we'll be tracking him down for you right now.
Yes.
And Saturday night, Gilbert Gottfried at Catch a Rising Star in Forked River. That's the Jersey Shore. You don't go to the beach or anything there, do you?
Yes. And I want everyone to know I go to the beach and picture me in bathing trunks. Yeah. Just, I want you to get that vision in your mind.
Well,
when you're having sex tonight, I want you to picture me walking along the beach in a Speedo.
Yeah. Well, hey, speaking of late night TV, I don't get some of these like this. James Corden, that carpool karaoke, brilliant. The first two times. The 5 millionth time, don't you think to yourself, can't this guy come up with something different every night?
But I think it's something that people think when they watch me, too. They'll probably go, he does a remarkable Robert Mitchum imitation, but maybe he should find someone a little more current.
Well, you're timeless. It's not. Oh no, I should point out your show's a little X-rated for people that might be coming Saturday night. Catch Rising Star in Forked River. So generally, people don't bring their kids to this show.
Unless your kids are already on drugs or something, and then you can bring them.
But it'll be great. So it's Saturday night, 7 o'clock. And again, he always sells out. So go right now to Catch a Rising Star. It's at the River House, Forked River. Get the tickets. Get the reservations. It's Saturday night. And then what's the best place to go get your podcast? At your website?
I think it's... you could look it up on my website, GilbertGottfried.com.
Yeah, or just Google Gilbert Gottfried Podcast. It's a great podcast. If you love show business and history and television and all that, great stuff, Gilbert Gottfried's podcast. See him at Catch a Rising Star in Forked River Saturday night. Gilbert Gottfried, love talking to you. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, thank you.
All right, take care. Oh, and everybody, check out the webpage. We got a lot up there. Donald Trump, there's like the art of the handshake. I know people say, make sure you have a firm handshake. Hey, it's much more than that. Watch what he does during a handshake to change the whole dynamic. Also, watch this. Hillary Clinton believes nothing. She's like a weather vane. Whatever way the wind is blowing, watch this from a few years ago where she was talking about how we had to get rid of all illegal aliens. We have to get them all out of the country. And then take a look at this. Every summer has one big song. Here's all the summer songs, the biggest number one song of the summer. Every summer, all the way back to 1958, cut together. Take a look at it. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com. Then go over to the Mark Simone page. Or you can just go to 710WOR.com/Mark.